topic of this morning is integrity and a Christian work ethic. Now, from the top of my head, the ultimate answer to this topic of integrity and a Christian work ethic is the Ten Commandments from Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, as well as our confession of faith, adding to it the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 from verse 1 to 12. Now, if we can have the first topic, it's about integrity. Integrity, simply speaking, is my word is my honor. My yes is yes, and my no is no. I will not cheat, I will not lie, because integrity is who I am. I'm honest, I'm reliable, what I have, my inner being, yes, and even the hell. Now, I would like us to go to the Word of God, and the first phase of one I would like us to have a look at, somebody who had integrity was Joshua. Let's go to Joshua chapter 10. And if we can read in our own good time from verse 1 to 15, it's about the integrity of Joshua the leader and even the Gibeonites. I'm reading from verse 8, Joshua chapter 10, verse 8. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." Then verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, he said, "Sun stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, though the people had revenge upon their enemies. That takes some going, to speak on behalf of God, and God did it, what he said. Now, Joshua, he compromised his leadership when he made a treaty with the Gibeonites. But once he made a covenant with them, he knew it was his duty to defend that covenant. Integrity means that you keep your oath and swear to your own hurt, regardless of the cost. It might mean that you have to stand in court. You've seen something that happened, and you wouldn't like to tell the truth because it might involve this accused that he might be found guilty. But before God, this is what I saw, and it's the truth, timely told. Nothing but the truth. Then I would like us to go to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Psalm 15 verse 2. Psalm 15, it's about the character of those who may dwell within the Lord. Listen carefully, we're speaking about integrity. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved, thus says the Lord. Now, Psalm 15 finishes us with a list of many of the necessary traits. David describes a righteous man who walks in integrity and gains not only the respect of others, but also the audience with God. God respects you when you have integrity, when you speak the truth and nothing but the truth. David pictures a godly person with the following. He says, he possesses integrity, verse 2, Psalm 15, verse 2. Secondly, he says, he does what is right. He's honest and trustworthy, verse 2. Does not gossip, verse 3. Does not listen to gossip, verse 3. Does not harm to others, verse 3. Verse 4, speaks out against wrong. Honors others who walk in truth, verse 4. Keeps their word even when it costs them. Yes, keep my word, although I'm going to lose in this whole issue. Isn't greedy to gain at the expense of others. Takes no bribes against anyone, verse 5. Is strong and stable, verse 5. Let's have a look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I will guide you with my eye. Now, this is the guidance for Christians. We are not perfect, but we're whole. To have integrity means to be whole. As in a whole number, despite his or her human frailties, which we all have, a person, a Christian, can have effectively guide those who will follow him. Nobody will follow you if you don't have integrity, if they don't believe in you, if they don't have faith in you, and they can only have faith in you if you are trustworthy. They know that you're walking the straight and the narrow. Your yes is yes and your no is no. Psalm 32, verse 8 reminds us that we Christians must closely observe the flock for its needs and problems. God expects us Christians to serve as guides. Now, what must the guide do? According to the Bible, a guide is a spiritual head who unites and directs people in their walk with God. If we really love each other, we will correct each other in love and in faith. Secondly, a guide, which you and me, being Christians, must be, takes people on the straight path that leads to fellowship with God. Thirdly, a guide, you and me, gives accurate and godly counsel to those who need it. Fourthly, a guide leads with gentleness and trustworthiness, making others feel safe. Lastly, a guide bases his or her direction on the Spirit and the Word of God. Let's go to Proverbs 5. Proverbs 5, it's about moral failure. Proverbs 5. Verse 3, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. This is an example of walking not with integrity, selling her own body to first come, first serve. This is what the Lord God does not want us to do. The next one is Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. It's about laziness. Proverbs 6. I'm reading from verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, no overseer, no ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Lessons of integrity we can learn from the ant. Do you want to make a difference in life? Then pay attention to the metaphor of the ant. It's amazing that one of the smallest of God's creatures can become one of his greatest teachers. The lessons the ant teaches us can be summarized this way. Ants don't need a commander. They don't need somebody to direct them, to tell them what to do. They do it just all by themselves. That means they take initiative. The ant is a self-starter, and that's what the Lord wants us also to be. Secondly, the ants work faithfully and need no outside accountability to keep them doing the right thing. It means they have integrity. Yes, and then ants work hard and will replace their anthill when it gets ruined. Yes, that means they are industrious. Lastly, ants store provisions in summertime. They have insight and they are responsible. If you want to speak about integrity, doing the work without somebody watching me, telling me what to do and what not to do, go to the ant. This is what the Lord tells us to do. Then, let's go to Philemon. Philemon, Philemon 21, being challenged to the difficult, being challenged to be the very, very difficult. Philemon 21, Philemon 21 says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than what I say. Even when your dad, your mom tells you what to do, and you will even go a second mile without her telling you, without him telling you what to do. We are being challenged with integrity to do even the difficult. With Philemon, forgive or erect emotional walls against Paul? He had done nothing wrong. In fact, he had been wrong. Fortunately, Philemon acted instead of reacting. There's a big difference between acting and reacting. Church history tells us Philemon responded with grace, received anonymous Onesimus back, and enabled him not only to participate in the church, but later to become a bishop. Thus says the Lord, this is integrity. Is your yes, yes, your no, no? Are you a reliable friend? Are you honest? This is what the Lord God expects from you and from me. Now let's go to ethics. What would we say about ethics? Ethics means how I behave. Am I reliable? Am I a reliable witness in court? Am I trustworthy? Will I speak the truth? Well, we are guided by the Ten Commandments. We have to live by the Ten Commandments. To live by the truth, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's first then go to Psalm 18, all about the Almighty God. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the bone of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Verse 29, for by you I can run against a troop, by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. 34, he teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can be bent and bowed of bronze. Yes, an absolute leader. God is an absolute leader in a relative world. God is an absolute and in a relative world. He is absolute in a relative world. So he can, leaders learn to rely on him. Psalm 18 gives some answers. The Lord is a mighty protector. He will protect you. It's worth a while to rely on God. And whenever you're in trouble, call upon the Lord. Psalm 50, verse 15. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will save you. Unconditional. And I will save you. In my personal life, even during the war, I've called upon the Lord many times, and he has saved me. Here I can stand. The Lord is an effective equipper. He can equip us. He can help us. He will see us through. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 to 4. Verse 3b, in fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the first of wickedness, you will not fast as you do this day. 7, it is not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Now, God's values of ethics is important for you and for me. The practice of fasting goes much deeper than the act not to eat, to go out with food. God declares that he delights not merely in his people going without some daily staples food, but in losing the bonds of wickedness and undoing heavy burdens of those they have oppressed. Verse 6 of Isaiah 58. God is calling us to live from his set of values and ethics. Fasting is fine and good, and these days we don't do it enough, I think. It's my personal opinion. But to fast while continuing to harbor destructive thoughts and oppressive attitudes does not reflect Christianity. Ethics supply the foundation for our values. Values supply the power that drives our leadership. Consider what God expects from the fasted life when you and me will fast. First, liberate those who are oppressed. Verse 6. Secondly, share your resources with the needy, and there are needy around us. Thirdly, provide shelter to the homeless. Verse 7. Supply clothing to the naked. 7. Lastly, stop accusing and judging others. Verse 9. If this can be the fruit, if we fast, then it's worth the while fasting. Let's go to Amos chapter 1, verse 1. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Efficiency minus ethics equals emptiness. The higher you as a Christian would go, the deeper your character must develop. The larger the outward privilege, the larger the inward character must become. Character represents the inner life of you and me as a Christian. God judged ancient Christians because of missing character. Think of Damascus, Syria, because they ruthlessly butchered Gilead without just cause. They did it unethically. Secondly, think of Gaza, because they made captives of free people and sold them into slavery. Think of Syria, because they ignored the covenant of peace and brotherhood. Fourthly, Edom, because they attacked their own family tribes and showed no compassion to them. Think of Ammon, because they murdered women in order to expand their territory. Think of Moab, lastly, because they displayed no respect for leadership in neighboring nations. It was not ethically what they did. Then, Matthew chapter 5, it's about the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. It's not nice to be persecuted, not even by your peers, and say all kinds of evil against falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. What a promise for us Christians to go out with the strength of the Lord, and when we are ridiculed or even attacked, knowing God will protect us, and it's all about Him, and that He will reward us. And I believe He's rewarding us even in this life and also after this life. Development of yourself begins in an attitude adjustment. We need to change our attitudes. Jesus challenged the normal human perspective on spiritual poverty and success, sadness and mourning, meekness and gentleness, passion and hunger, mercy and compassion, purity and integrity, peacemaking and revenge. We human beings, we want to take revenge. But the Lord God is our example. Peacemaking and not revenge. Persecution and adversity. Jesus' most famous message, the Sermon on the Mount, focused on the hearts of his listeners. He targeted his disciples as the audience, Matthew 5, verse 1 and 2, and he proceeded to preach what we now call the Beatitudes. He called his men to be different, his disciples to be different, to see the world from God's perspective, to relate to people in a supernatural fashion. This is what the Lord tells us about ethics. We have our own professors and doctors who can give us a long explanation of integrity and a long explanation of ethics, but the Bible tells us what it means to have integrity, what it means to behave ethically as a Christian. There are different ethics. The communists, they have their ethical way of doing things according to their understanding. But we Christians, we have the handbook, the book of books, which is really telling us what we should and what we should not do. We need to have integrity and need to behave ethically in the workplace. This is what God is expecting from you and from me. I would like us to, in our groups, two, if we can discuss the first question. What do you understand about integrity? Can we just sit two and we ask each other, what do you understand? What did you hear about integrity? What does integrity mean to you? Please, let's do it. Two. Is there any volunteer who can tell us about integrity, what you understand about integrity? Right at the back, Aubrey.
Integrity is that person when no one is with you and when no one is looking at you. So all of us who are outside are certainly you. That person who we are when no one is with you.
Wonderful. When nobody is watching you, how you behave? Are you still honest? Are you still reliable? Because it's what you have. It's inside you. You can listen to this man. Whatever he speaks, you can listen. He knows. An example for me at this camp is Dr. Peter Hammond. Look at his presentations. You can question him on anything, but he's done research. It's the truth. Can't be told. Nothing but the truth. He's not wara-wara. Well, you know, maybe, I'm not sure. Yes, that is speaking with integrity. He knows what he wants to say. Anybody else would like to add something? Yes. Alpha? No. Wait for the mic, please.
So integrity is sticking on a specific moral standard, no matter what situation one is in.
Okay, and for us Christians, our moral standards comes from
God,
from the Bible, and He's guiding us. He's giving us Exodus 20. You know, there are people saying that the Old Testament and even the Ten Commandments is history. It's not for us anymore. Yes. Thank you, that's right. Anyone else? Mama Yoriza?
We were speaking about integrity, me and this beautiful girl, and we said integrity is a gift from God.
Amen.
Because we are born as honest. Little children, it wasn't me, it was my brother. It's so easy to just cover up yourself, and that's not integrity. But God can give you integrity through your parents who teach you and say, well, this is not right, through your teachers, but also when you are born again, and the Spirit of God lives inside you, He will lead you and show you and convict you that was not quite the truth.
When you're a Christian, you want to speak the truth.
And yeah. God gives you the gift of integrity, and you have to exercise it so that
Amen.
Can become a life habit.
Wonderful. Thank you. At the back.
Just reminded me, in Proverbs it says that the fear of the Lord is but the beginning of wisdom. So I would like to say that once we understand who God is, His complete character, then there's a true genuine fear, and then we will walk upright. It is impossible to compromise or to cheat or to lie, because you are in His presence. You are in that tremendous reverence and fear. So I would like to say, by the grace of God, we can experience that, that's where it starts. And then we can maintain the integrity. Thank you.
Integrity also means that I will not tell a lie. Guys, and we are Christians. We can have Jesus in our hearts. But when it's threatening my position or whatever, even a white lie is not done with integrity, it's not done with the conscience of God, and stepping out of His grace if I do that. Somebody else? Yes? Pastor?
It's an amazing concept of how to say it. It's an amazing concept of how sin, the world of the flesh, has been able to take terminology and actually soften some of these issues, like what you just said, white lies. There is no such thing. A lie is a lie. Anything that is not the truth is a lie. And when we look at the verse that you put up on the screen earlier, being willing to swear to the truth, even against your own hurt. This is so important. I believe that that is one of the greatest tests of faith, of which you just said, Doctor, where one is willing to say, you know what, my own well-being may be in jeopardy if I don't try to, as we say in America, smooth the thing out or come up with some type of subtle terminology to make it appear that it's not really as bad as it is. And I thank God that He's given every one of us a conscience, because our conscience will always bear witness of what is true and what is right and what is correct versus what is a lie. When we choose to believe and to propagate the lie, when our conscience is condemning us, and telling us, convicting us rather, and telling us not to do that, then we begin to walk in a spirit, because integrity is a spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Right. Chaka. Then, please.
Thank you, sir. Integrity is just keeping your word.
Keeping your word? Yes, yes. Yes.
We can look at Jesus Christ, irrespective of Him being faced with the death penalty before Him, He kept His word that He was the Son of God. So being or having integrity, or being a man of integrity or a woman of integrity, we must always remember whether people are there or they are not there.
Amen.
Will still be straight with our God.
Good.
That's the word. Thank
right.
you.
Thank you. Now the second question, you will put it on the screen. What do you understand about ethics? There need not to be any confusion. We've spoken about integrity. Now discuss 2-2. What do you understand about ethics? Ethics, what I do, what I am, how I behave, did I behave ethically? What do we understand by ethics? By show of hands? Yes, sir.
I think for me the way I understand it is that ethics is a set of values that I have in my life that are make up ethics. Could you have that in this country or as a school or as an organization? The set of values that we have, if you keep moving towards.
Like the Bible is our guide, the Ten Commandments tell us even what we believe, and even the Beatitudes, we have all the guide from the Bible. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Ethics is the relationship between morality and our actions.
Well said. Well said. Anybody else? Let's give the opportunity here.
I was just mentioning to my partner over here that there is not only a godly perspective on that term of ethics, but also an ungodly. Because we know in secular humanism there is an ethic called situational ethics, which is basically moral relativism, which says, like, there's a satanic book of ethics, which is the exact opposite of the Ten Commandments. So ethics, at its foundational level, is basically principles. Are my principles lined up with the Word of God, which are godly, or are my ethics situational, as the secular humanist would say, that says that I am a pragmatist, that if the ends justifies the means. So we have to always understand at the same time that you'll have two different situations with two different value systems used in the same terms, but at the same time, totally two different meanings.
Right. Thank you so much. I want to conclude by saying ethics are rules of living for everyday life, for you and me, from the heart of God. And He gives us the Ten Commandments and everything that goes with that. Sir, you wanted to say something? Doctor? Then we have the last question which we will discuss. I'll give you a chance.
I just understand that ethical comes from the word ethos. It's God within. So for me, I understand that if I'm an ethical man, it means I have God in me doing what God will do.
Amen. Thank you. Question number 3. How do we teach integrity and ethics? Can you discuss? Can we discuss how do we teach integrity and ethics? Integrity, how we behave, and ethics, what I am inside me. So, how do we teach our children to live by integrity? How we do it, and that it will be instilled in them to be ethically sound. How do we do it? Avery?
The Bible says that we should teach a child to become the only way to the Lord, and paraphrasing. And when he's walking, he will depart from that way. So, first of all, we teach what the Bible says about mankind. Mankind is corrupt from birth. But Jesus Christ came to give us new life. And we must be transformed through the renewing of our mind, through studying the Bible. And I want to maybe emphasize memorizing scripture. So that if we're given the situation, how should I act here? That we can think God-like, and not like our old self would like to think like. So that's what I would say.
Thank you. Mama Yorisa?
I think the greatest teacher is the Holy Spirit that enables parents, teachers, the church to teach. And we were sharing the example because they are the written examples, but when the Holy Spirit is inside you, it makes your conscience sensitive. And sometimes the Lord will allow others to do things, but you, He doesn't allow. I think those are very close to the Lord now that I'm speaking about now. I remember a missionary that visited our home, and we were all enjoying wonderful, luscious grapes. And she was not eating any. I said, why don't you eat grapes? Are you allergic to it? She said, no. I always used to overeat myself with grapes. And then the Lord said, no more grapes for you. So I don't eat grapes as a sacrifice to the Lord. That's now inside integrity. If you're very close to the Lord, He will sometimes allow you. Some people allow you to be married. Others He said, no. You are put aside to work for the Lord alone. And that is the inward integrity and ethics that the Holy Spirit brings inside your heart.
I want you just to tell the story about the Horn family, the five boys. When we had the military base in Bethlehem many moons ago, 1970, just explain to them how they behaved.
When we started in the military, we found in Bethlehem, or when I started, we were in for a long time ago, there was a lady with
five sons. Small sons, primary school sons.
And the Lord led us to do house to house visitation, just shortly, to get to know the people. It wasn't running those days, but the Lord made us to do that. To not just have the discipline of the army, but to make friends with the people. And when we got to that home, the five children, boys, were sitting on the floor doing their homework. And as we walked in, the mother said in a very ordinary voice, boys, go to your rooms to continue your work. And immediately, they all stood up and left. And we looked at each other and said, wow. Just in an ordinary voice, no shouting, no threatening. We said, how do you do this? She said, I speak only once. And there's a rod behind the door. I speak only once. So parents is very responsible to teach their children obedience. Not, especially the mothers are guilty of that sometimes. They speak louder and louder, and then the child does when the voice gets that pitch, now I must get up and move. But if you teach them since they are very young, and I love the way Africans show, Africans are show the age, they do it like this. We say, how old are you? They do it like this because they're still growing. Yeah. But if you can teach the children since they are small to be obedient, they are instilled with ethics, and it becomes a habit. It's not a fight to get them to adopt.
Thank you. We've run out of time. Is there still somebody, this beautiful lady? Yes, with the long hair. Oh, wrong place. Around.
I think the best way that you can teach integrity to your children is by living with integrity yourself. Because kids tend to follow their parents. If it's bad, they'll follow their parents as well. But if you behave with integrity, you'll find you've got a strong character that your friends will probably follow you as well.
Lead by example.
Lead by example.
Wonderful. Okay, this moment, the last one.
Thank
you. Can I conclude by saying the world does not read the Bible? They don't know Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. They don't know the Bible. They read the Bible in your life and my life. Let me tell you what we do at Back to the Bible Mission to teach them integrity and ethics. Number one requirement, you must be saved. You cannot put sheep and goats in the same crop. It doesn't work. First of all, they need to be saved. And some of the students coming to Back to the Bible, they just have a desire to get a paper, which might be a springboard for something else. And there, at our place, they get converted, accept Jesus. Number one, you need to be saved. Number two, Christian living, the example of the staff and other students, is very important. Then we have to follow the Bible, lead by example, and then to be disciplined. You know, we Christians, we're not disciplined. What do I mean by discipline? At home, your dad will say, or your mom will say, Okay, guys, to your rooms. Now you're going to read your Bible and you're going to pray. You have to do it. If you have integrity, you will go and do it. You will not close your room and say, I'm not going to do it. Get into the bed. No. Discipline is so important for us Christians. Timing. The bell would go. And back to the Bible, everybody listens to the bell, and the bell will tell you what to do. Proper planning. Mentoring. To be mentored by your superiors, by your father and your mother. Lead by example. You need to get feedback. How are you progressing? What I used to do with my four sons in home, when they bring their report of the year, and at the end of the year, after they've done the year at school, then I will have a discussion with them. What did you enjoy? What did you find difficult? And then I will tell you straight what you did and what you did not do good. You know, my father used to say, it's only me, as your father, who will be honest with you. I will tell you, you have bad breath, don't brush your teeth. The world will say, don't get close to this guy, he stinks. We need to be honest with each other. It's not easy, and we don't like it, to be straightforward and honest. And of course, my wife is always telling, yes, put some water, and just have some love, and so on. Yes, but feedback is very important. We need to have integrity, and we need to behave ethically in our workplace. Amen and amen. My time is up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, we can't do it. We don't have it unless you help us, unless you give it to us to be ethically correct. And Lord, that we will really have integrity, the integrity of a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.